want to thank you all for allowing me to come back and speak again. It's always a real thrill and honor for Kathy and I to come back to the congregation that raised us. I mean, that's what we consider y'all. We were babes, and y'all helped raise us. So it's always good to see y'all, and I appreciate being allowed to be here and speak. After I spoke the last time, it's been a couple months, I guess, I went back, and I'm always trying to come up with a sermon or two, because I get to preach periodically at Anthony. And I had put together what I really thought was a good lesson on Cornelius. I've done a PowerPoint and everything, and then Daryl came down to speak at Anthony and brought a bunch of the guys with him, and I was talking with Robert McConnell. Just met him, and we got in a short discussion. He probably doesn't even remember it, but we were talking about decisions and choices, and he said, yeah, every choice, every week, it's important that I make good choices. Every hour, it's important that I make good choices. And that stuck with me, and so I thought about that for several days, and I changed my mind on what I was going to speak about. I made a choice to not talk to you about Cornelius, but to talk about choices. I think I've spoken on this subject here once before, and boy, when I was here last time, I messed up the PowerPoint, so I might need some help, but we'll see. There we go. And then I got a, is it up there? I did a whole lesson when I was here before off of PowerPoint, didn't even realize it wasn't displaying up there. That's how professional I am. All right. I appreciate the song Bert led, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand, because that's a choice, isn't it? You just picture holding on to the Creator's hand. And we have a choice whether to hold that grip or to let go. And it seems real simple. And in some respects, Christianity is that simple. But we either have to grab onto His hand and hold it, or we have to let go. And we make that decision virtually every day of our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about how critical choices are to our eternity. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." So our eternal destiny depends upon our choices. And we talked today in Bible class about God's grace, and that's always there. His unchanging hand is always reaching out. But it's our choice whether to grab a hold of it, and then whether to hold on. And our choices determine that. I'm a big fan of all three of the NCIS shows. Kathy and I watch those pretty regularly. We hardly ever miss one. And there's a TV commercial that's been running the last few days for the episode tomorrow night of NCIS Los Angeles. And it says, "Each choice you make defines you or destroys you." And I thought that was pretty profound for a TV show. But it's true. Each choice we make tells everybody who we are at that moment. And so it's very important that we discipline ourselves to make choices. You know, we're here today because each one of us made a choice to come. For some people, it's a habit, and it's not that difficult choice. For other people, it might be a lot more difficult. I remember when we first became Christians, I had to make a choice about Wednesday night Bible study because for years and years, I had played tennis on Wednesday night. And I had to make a choice to give up that tennis match or change it to another day, which I did. And to most of y'all, that would seem trivial and unimportant and so easy. But that was a hard choice for me. And so choices become easier as we mature in the faith, but we should never expect or take for granted some of those choices for new Christians and how difficult they can be when they seem very easy for us. Because every little choice helps take us down one path or the other. And so I want to start off by looking at a song by George Jones. And I think I might have preached some of this lesson before. This is a recycled sermon on choices. Recycling, they tell us, is good. And you know, there's some of the old in there, but it's supposed to be new and better. So we'll see. But this is a song by George Jones, and this is some of the lyrics. I've had choices since the day I was born. There were voices that told me right from wrong. If I had listened, no, I wouldn't be here today, living and dying with the choices I made. I was tempted by an early age. I found I liked drinking. Oh, and I never turned it down. There were loved ones, but I turned them all away. Now I'm living and dying with the choices I made. I guess I'm paying for those things that I've done. If I could go back, oh, Lord knows I'd run. But I'm still losing this game of life I play, living and dying with the choices I made. I've had choices since the day that I was born. There were voices that told me right from wrong. If I had listened, no, I wouldn't be here today, living and dying with the choices I made. For any of y'all that know anything about George Jones, he was born in rural Texas in 1931, raised dirt poor. He first had his first hit in 1955. I was 3. So y'all do the math and decide how old I am. He released 68 albums, 14 number one hits, and over 165 songs on the Billboard Top 100. 3 Grammy Awards, countless country music awards. He died in 2013 at age 81, and the year before at age 80, he did 80 concerts. He was married 4 times, was a lifetime alcoholic. His biography says that for 40 years he had either a Bloody Mary or a screwdriver when he woke up in the morning and drank bourbon all day. He was a heavy smoker, and 2 different wives tell the story of them trying to get him to quit drinking by hiding his liquor, pouring it down the sink, taking his car keys, hiding his vehicles. And one time, he was so desperate for a drink, he took the riding lawnmower out on the highway to drive it to the liquor store. In the 1970s, he added cocaine to his arsenal, and he ended up in a mental hospital in 1979. He was so undependable by that time in his life, he was nicknamed No Show Jones, because he wasn't able to perform sometimes when he went on stage, or he just didn't show up. But in 1998, he had a near-fatal car wreck, and it woke him up. He cleaned up his act, he quit smoking and drinking, and he established a closer relationship with people who had God in their lives. And he claimed from then on to have been saved. And he often talked about his relationship with Jesus during his concerts in his later years. And in 1999, he recorded the album Cold Hard Truth, and that's where this song Choices came from. But I just tell you that story because his life was what it was because of a series of choices he made throughout it. And in the end, it appears he made some right choices. And maybe he did establish a good relationship with God. But for somebody who was so famous and so talented, made so many bad decisions in his life, we can only hope and pray that at the end he got it right. And it's an example for all of us that it doesn't matter who we are, what our station in life is. We can make choices that will make our life better, or we can make choices that will make our life worse. From the beginning of time, life has always been a series of choices. And each of us has to make them. We don't have any choice about making choices. Making no choice is a choice. If we're put in a situation where we need to make a decision and choose not to make a decision, that's a choice, isn't it? And so what we have to look at is how we go about making correct choices. John Paul Sartre says, we are our choices. And that is true. We are a product of the choices we make. Ken Levine said, we all make choices, but in the end, our choices make us. And Roy Disney says, it's not hard to make choices when you know what your values are. And that's true. When we know who we are and what we stand for and what our values are, it makes it easier to make choices, right? If we can't allow our choices to make us, In other words, we just follow the flow and just habitually go down the road everybody else is, and then we become our choices. Elizabeth Elliot said this, "Choices will continually be necessary, and let us not forget possible." You know, God put in mankind, each human being, the ability to discern right and wrong and make choices. We're his only creation that can do that. Everything else is instinctual. Obedience to God is always possible. No matter how far gone we get, we can always choose to obey God. It's a deadly error to fall into the notion that when feelings are extremely strong, we can do nothing but act on them. And how different a statement that is from the way most of society looks at things. Most of society today will say, if it makes you feel good, do it. And when you feel so strongly about something, you have to go that way. You've got to follow your impulses. The Bible doesn't teach us that. The Bible teaches us that we need to control our impulses and train ourselves to make proper choices. The first example is in the book of Genesis. And I'd ask you all to follow along. And I'm using the New American Standard. And this is the Bible that I bought when I was here as a new Christian. And I'm still using it, and I will continue to use it as long as the pages don't fall apart. I taped them and glued them. And Genesis 3, verses 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, as God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden." And the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die." And the serpent said to the woman, "You surely shall not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. Now that's a sermon all in itself. But the reason I'm reading that is to show from the very beginning, a human being had a choice. God gave them a garden with an opportunity to live in harmony with him forever. He just put a condition on it. Don't eat from that fruit of that one tree. And so through the temptation of Satan and all the things that are in those verses, Eve saw an opportunity to make a choice. And she made the wrong one. And then her husband made the wrong one as well. So it's a choice between God or Satan. And it seems so insignificant. What's the big deal? I'm just eating a piece of fruit. And how many people today in the world would say this is a sin? Just picking a piece of fruit off a tree and eating it. But it separated Adam and Eve from God at that moment. And what was the end result of that? Blood had to be shed. Blood had to be shed because they ate a piece of fruit. It wasn't the fruit, it was the disobedience to God that caused that sacrifice to be made. Abraham and Lot. Turn to Genesis chapter 13. We've been in this section in our Bible study at Anthony. Abraham and Lot, chapter 13, verses 8 through 13. Then Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right, and if to the right, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. Abraham chose to let Lot choose. Lot looked out and chose what he thought was the most beautiful place to live. Now I have to believe that they knew the kind of people that lived in that area. I mean, they were familiar with that whole part of the country. And yet, Lot chose to live in a place where it was beautiful on the surface, but underneath it was corrupt and dirty and filthy and full of sin. Each one made choices, and Lot paid a price, didn't he? His wife paid a bigger price, but Lot paid a price for his choice. Life or death. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I think this is one of the consistent messages of Scripture that's applicable today. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. He says choose. You have to choose whether you're going to live in obedience to me or in disobedience to me. And your future depends upon it. And it's so clear he makes it. You have a blessing if you choose to obey. And you will have a curse if you choose to disobey. Is that any different for us today? It's exactly the same. All of us choose which set of rules we will follow. And again, sometimes it's a daily choice. Sometimes we get in habits of making good choices, and it's not that hard. But we definitely need to revisit from time to time and look at the choices we're making and where it's leading us, just to make sure we're in tune with Scripture. Simple choices can lead us to more difficult choices. And they can lead us down a path where it's going to be very hard to come back. David and Bathsheba, 2 Samuel, chapter 11, verses 2 through 4. Now when evening came, David arose from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful in appearance. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and one said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her. And when she came to him, he lay with her. And when she had purified herself from her uncleanness, she returned to her house. David is known as a man after God's own heart. But at that moment, his heart was bad because he made a bad choice. What made him later on a man after God's own heart is when Nathan pointed out his sin, he immediately repented. That made his heart good at that point. But right here, in this instance, in these verses, he had a bad heart. And why? He should have been out with his troops. He made a choice not to go. He shouldn't have been staring around on his rooftop when his soldiers were out fighting. Maybe she shouldn't have been bathing naked where people in the neighborhood could see her. I mean, there was a whole series of bad choices here. Then he made a choice to send for her because he had lust. She made a choice to come. Now, I've heard people say, well, he's the king. She had no choice. Yes, she did. Didn't Joseph have a choice when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him? He had a choice. He ended up in prison, but he still had a choice, and he chose not to sin against God. And so Bathsheba could have said, no, I'm not going. You can put me in prison, but I won't go. So she's not innocent in this. Then they got together, chose to have sex, and she got pregnant. Then David chose to set up her husband Uriah by bringing him home from war, hoping he would sleep with his wife and claim the baby was his. And then when that didn't work, David plotted his murder. So you see how a simple choice that started with him not going with his troops ended up with adultery and conspiracy to commit murder. I mean, that's where choices can lead us. Seemingly an innocent choice that's wrong, but still not that big a deal, leads to other choices that become more and more serious, with more and more serious consequences. And I think we've all been there. Some of us have been there more than others, and some of the consequences have been heavier. But we've all made a series of choices that have led us to a place we didn't want to be. And the key is to make the right choice in the beginning before we start down that path. That's what David did. He started with one fairly minor bad choice, but it led to more and more bad choices that ended up in a mess. And his family paid for that forever. His family paid the consequences. Let's turn over to the New Testament and look at Acts chapter 4. Joseph the Cyprian and Ananias and Sapphira. Starting in verse 34 of Acts chapter 4 and reading through Acts chapter 5, verse 10. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sale, and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed each as any had need. And Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But, that's in contrast to what we just read, a certain man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge, and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down, breathed his last, and great fear came upon all who heard of it. And the young men arose and covered him up, and after carrying him off, they buried him. Now there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter responded to her, tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price. And she said, yes, that was the price. Then Peter said to her, why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they shall carry you out as well. And as she fell immediately at his feet and breathed her last, and the young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. You know that's the first instance of church discipline? But it is. The first instance of church discipline. Two people, boom. You disobey God and lie to the Holy Spirit, you're dead. Joseph chose to sell land and give all the proceeds to the apostles to help the needy Christians. No condition. The others, Ananias and Sapphira, chose to sell some land and keep back some from themselves, which is fine. He said it was fine, while trying to deceive the apostles into thinking they were giving all their money to God. They had a right to do this, but the wrong attitude, and they paid for their choice with their lives. And that can get all of us sometimes. I mean, sometimes a bad choice will cost us our lives. I think it would be even worse if it cost us our soul. But they died, probably did cost them their soul, because the last thing they did before they died was sin. They never repented. We've got to be careful with the choices we make. Judas and Peter. I'm not going to read this whole story, but I think you know the gist of it, is both Judas and Peter denied Jesus. Judas betrayed him. Peter denied him 3 times. But what's the difference between these two men? Both men sinned. Judas chose to betray him, and after it all played out, what did he do? He committed suicide. He killed himself. I've got a little scripted caption above those passages where Judas killed himself that says Judas repented. No, he didn't. Repentance means to turn away from something you've done wrong and start doing right. He didn't do that. He was sorry he got caught. He might have felt guilty, but he didn't truly repent. He killed himself. That's not repentance. Peter denied Christ three times, and when Jesus looked at him to remind him of his sins, what did he do? He wept bitterly and then repented and became a great apostle. So we see that the choices we make, what's more important, because we're all going to make bad choices, is what's the next choice after the bad one. I think that's the key to our Christian walk, is because nobody is going to make the right choice every time. What we have to do is when we make a bad choice, to recognize it and then make a good choice to fix it as quickly as possible. Too often we don't. Too often we rationalize or justify the choice that we've made, and that just leads to more bad choices.